So another busy two podcasts where three friends gather around in order to close the deal on Netflix. That's the first thing I saw here. As always, I am your dark horse, Zach, and join with me.
There are so many other things you could have gone with.
I'm really tired. And join with me is the new mutant,
Zach,
and the Final Fantasy VII Remake trailer.
What?
You're batting low today.
Can we just do it again? No, not even like a hard cut. Let me just go from the top, right?
Sure.
Do you have something in mind?
No, not at all.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, moving forward.
Oh, Lord.
How's everyone doing today?
It's gonna be a day.
It's been a day.
Yeah, I feel you. It's
mostly a Twitter day. Like, nothing else was really that bad in my day. Outside of looking at Twitter every now and again.
I didn't have time to go on Twitter today, so I'm fine.
I was unfortunate enough to really have nothing at work to do. So I was like, I wonder if Twitter's calmed down. No, I'm still on fire. Let's check back in a couple hours. It was really two people in general who were blowing up my timeline with retweets and likes. And one of them was Shannon McCormick. And the other was Kayla. Kayla was liking and retweeting so many things.
She was homesick today.
About Game of Thrones. And it was between her and Shannon. Like, they were on opposite sides of the argument. And that was just blowing up my Twitter feed all day.
It was very interesting. So on Mondays, we all come together to discuss Game of Thrones between all the teachers. And even a couple of students talk about it with me, too. And my camp includes myself, my boss, and then some students. About how we all were kind of like, it's okay to not like something, but still enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, an entertainment value. Like, I'm still not fully on board with last night's episode. Like, I can understand their direction for it. And then on the other end of the camp is, here's a group of people that didn't necessarily mind last night's episode. But the one thing we all agreed on was Jaime's character arc fucking sucked.
That's where I would disagree.
See, and I understand that.
I would hard disagree on that.
This is why Kayla flips you off all the time.
I know. How dare I voice my opinion of liking things.
She really only does that to you. Uh-huh. I'm really sorry.
So I'm just going to add that to the list of shit I would get flipped
off
for. I'm
fine with them doing something like that if they gave them way more time to explain it. It's just like they're just doing things with no other, like, no inner monologues or other character interactions to explain what they're doing. They get one line of dialogue to say, I'm a bad person, so I'm gonna go do this. Okay, I guess that's where we're at now.
Also, you are coming in pretty hot with your vocals. I don't know if it's just the room
I think it's the first time you're sitting directly across from him, and I'm off to the side now. We're recording in a new space. I'm on a couch staring at the wall with no one in front of me, and Zach and Steve are directly across from each other now.
Like, it's fine to enjoy. Like, I have no problem if you're enjoying it. I'm just like, I really wish they had two more seasons to do this. Because they're just like, there's so many major plot points they're hitting now.
But what about the Valonqar?
The what?
The prophecy. Cersei's prophecy. And when your tears have drowned you, the Valonqar shall wrap his hands about the pale white throat and choke the life out of you. And Valonqar translates to brother or sibling. It's a general neutral term in Game of Thrones. So is the ceiling the Valonqar? Like, is that where we're at?
It just, yeah. It's like, all right, there's so many major events that are happening. There's so much context we're missing now.
Do you just want to hold off to the end to do spoilers?
Yeah, we can do that.
I think the greatest killer of all Lannisters is gravity at this point.
Not really.
No.
I think Poison's got gravity.
It's mostly themselves or Poison, yeah.
Crossbow, Poison. Two to gravity.
Two to Poison.
Well, one with themselves.
Joffrey and daughter.
What's her?
I forgot she existed.
Yeah.
She was a very, very side plot.
Like, I know Tommen killed himself, but it was still gravity that did the job.
Right.
Do you think the Hound lounded? Oh, I'm just going to stop now.
Hound lounded.
So this week, one of the big things that came out of The news is Dark Horse signs a Netflix first look deal. So Netflix tweeted the news of the arrangement as described as a first look, but no details actually came out to what shows or movies would be included in the development of the announcement. So they're happy to say that Netflix has closed a deal with Dark Horse Comics, and that means Netflix will have the first look at all Dark Horse titles for both film and TV, and the Netflix, the NX on Netflix Twitter account says, I'm really trying to keep my cool about it, but yes, yes, yes. So this comes as part of Umbrella Academy coming through. There's also been two pitched adaptations, one for Concrete and one for Williamson's Harrow County, which I'm really pumped for if that also comes through. And then Netflix would also get titles such as Hellboy or BPRD as part of the creator-owned Netflix things. And that means, like, Jeff Lemire would just roll into town, and it's so, like, here's all of the things I do. Black Hammer, let's do this. I personally would love to see a Leaving Megalopolis Netflix series, which is brutal. Essentially all this world superheroes get turned into vague zombie-esque characters. I
really wish we got some conclusion to that story. Go get a you, Gal Simone.
I haven't finished Surviving yet. I never got issue 6. Still
doesn't close out the story. We're in just another cliffhanger.
Ooh. I'm trying to think, like, what other big Dark Horse titles I would look forward to. I'm just trying to think about, like, if I read any recently.
I don't think I've read a single Dark Horse comic.
Critical Role's technically through Dark Horse.
Yeah, but that
doesn't, I don't know if that counts.
That wouldn't count there, because they're a individually owned property.
I'm like that, that, yeah.
That just go through Dark Horse. It's not like a Dark Horse owned property.
We would get series such as Sin City, Umbrella Academy, The Mask.
Umbrella Academy was Dark Horse?
Yep.
Huh.
We don't need a Mask TV show. We didn't need a second Mask movie.
Buffy?
Without that one. Yeah.
Well,
they could try to bring back Buffy, I guess.
The Goon. That would be a good series. Army of Darkness.
They already have their show.
Ray, I forgot about that.
3 seasons and it got canceled.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Dark Horse also, it'd be interesting, just because, again, like,
I feel like it's just, it's another one of those Netflix is just buying more and more things to put their name on. Like, I would be curious of, like, how many things are they actually, like, creating versus just buying and putting their stamp on it?
Well, it's like Lucifer. Season 4 came out, and I'm watching it, and it starts off with a Netflix original series.
Yeah, it's like
no, but it wasn't a Netflix original series.
You just bought this.
It's a Netflix original season.
It's literally the meme of, you made this? We made this.
It's like, but it's a Fox original.
Oh, yeah, there's so, I mean, like, think about all the anime that comes to it. Like, most of it is just they bought it. They didn't, like, most of the time they don't even fund it. I don't remember
what the first, like, fully funded Netflix original anime was.
I don't know. It might have been something low-key that nobody watched because they didn't know about it. Yeah. I know Seven Deadly Sins was, like, a partnership with Crunchyroll, wasn't it?
Seven Deadly Sins came out on its own, in its own schedule, and then Netflix had the dub rights for it.
Okay.
But yeah, they only have the dub rights. So if they put, like, a Netflix original dub, then that would be more accurate.
Yeah, I think it's kind of the same way with Violet Evergarden. No, Violet Evergarden was just purely on it.
I think this is also just coming from the, sorry, to go back on the business deal of this angle. Like, you know, Netflix is getting their stamp on everything. But I wonder if this is also a way for creators to be like, oh, I should sell my indie thing to Dark Horse now. Because there is the chance that
it's true that you do have that, like,
stuff can get pushed.
Yeah, there is that immediate path to getting a show created based it's kinda, on your property or movie.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Millerverse where Mark Millar literally just writes comics and does it all independently with one artist typically, just so that they can end up selling the rights to either a movie or a larger franchise. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Kingsman being bought through I think it was through Marvel It's the Icon imprint. Because he... And then, you know, that went successfully for two movies. And I think the third's coming out. The prequel.
Maybe? I don't know.
And also, there's like a... I don't know if you guys saw this, but two indie comic publishers are actually merging right now.
Oh, yeah. So,
Oni Press and Lion Forge.
Oh, right. I don't want that Titan.
Yeah. So, the two companies are coming together and then consolidating. So, it's...
Oh, wait. Did you throw that on the list?
I didn't. Okay. I just saw it pop up.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because a lot of people are kind of talking about, it's like, well, if
a
you're
lot
looking
of the
at...
Oni people are... leaving from or getting fired from what I've seen.
Yeah, it's also in the vein of like it how incredibly small the comic book industry is outside of like the big two and Image and Dark Horse. Like, you can consider
there's so many,
they're a big three now, and like, you know, comics have become so pop culture and it's this unstoppable juggernaut. It's like, man, how are you going to get visibility in your comic books if there's just so much out there at this point? Like, it still kind of blows my mind that the Baby Metal graphic novel printed out through Z2 Comics instead of like an Image or a Dark Horse, because even Dark Horse, I think Dark Horse actually does like a lot of the big adaptational things. Like, I think the American Attack on Titan comics came out of them.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I don't know if you saw this, but Riot's also publishing a League of Legends comic through Marvel, which is weird.
But it's that audience that's already going to be there.
Yeah, kind of.
Well, maybe not necessarily audience, but there's a platform already there.
Sure, and I guess they're just begging off the that people actually care about lore, which is people questions like, do you? It's like, it doesn't seem like you care about the lore, but you want us to care about the lore. So what's going? We don't know anymore.
Right. I don't know. Maybe it's like from a distributor level, it's easier too. Like,
oh, I'm sure.
Again, if you do it through any of the big two or Image, then you just get Diamond from them. And then that makes publication and trade easy. It's weird.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have John talk about this next time we see him. So moving forward on our list. Speaking of adaptational things, we get the first HBO Watchmen teaser. TikTok, 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 TikTok. Counting down to the Doomsday Clock, which is a totally separate thing. It's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of it. Like, I didn't get enough context to know if it's going, like, how is this going to pan out? Because, I mean, the only, like, real character you see is Ozzy for, like, a second.
Yeah, Jeremy Irons playing Ozymandias.
Then it's like, so, all right, so we got a bunch of Rorschach copycats. It looks like they're killing cops, I guess. So that's why, I don't know why all the cops are wearing face masks. That seems a little weird to me. But, like, that's not going to really, if you're in a uniform, people are going to know. Like, I'm confused here.
Yeah, and someone on the DC subreddit actually made, like, a really interesting point. So Rorschach is dead and he has a cult. I hope we get to see Rorschach, too. And then someone quotes from the comic, God didn't kill that little girl. Fate didn't butcher her and destiny didn't feed her to these dogs. If God saw what any of us did that night, he didn't seem to mind. From then on, I knew God doesn't make the world this way. We do. Weird Rorschach fan club. Yo, let's get this big-ass Jesus statue here. And it's like, on one hand, I really hope that it was kind of like a Archie Riverdale, like, let's go film in front of the camera thing, and not that they killed every single person in that church.
Where was the shirtless dude?
I don't know. He was standing over there by the other, like, intimidating white-looking dude. It's interesting, like, the ideologies of Rorschach now... Like, Rorschach has always been a political extremist, but now his ideologies have spread throughout the world. I think this is what I almost wanted to see from Doomsday.
I think his ideologies spread through the world. I think it's what people perceive as his ideologies. Because it's always what happens with, like, cults in these shows is, like, no, he stood for this thing. No, he didn't, champ.
No.
But only one person really knows what he stood for, but you're going to go ahead
now
with your ideals anyway.
Cool. I guess.
It's like, really, only he and maybe Owlman knew, or Night Owl, really knew what he stood for. You probably don't.
Just gotta go out on a limb. So are we back in another trend of like doomsday scenarios things? Or not doomsday, but like we're back into 80s themed shows again. Because we have Stranger Things 3 coming out soon. Chernobyl just started. Now we have Watchmen, which is in the 80s. It's like, we're getting another wave of Cold War stuff.
I feel like we've been riding the coattails of 80s pop culture for a while.
There's just
people it's been like ebbing and flowing.
I'm kind of waiting for the day someone just decides to reboot A New Hope and just see how that goes. Like, God, I want Mark Hamill to be Obi-Wan.
I would love to see the shit show that people would rage about online.
We're almost ready for a Harry Potter reboot.
No.
Just first movie again. Full stop.
No, because...
Dude, that would give J.K. Rowling an out to put all these things that she wants to add into the books.
You got upset about all the shit that J.K. Rowling has been tweeting. Why would you want to give her a platform to officially make it on-screen canon?
Maybe, okay.
Because you even said, like, oh yeah, if they showed that Dumbledore was gay on the screen, then that'd be one thing. This would give her a chance to show Dumbledore was gay on screen.
Nah, she still wouldn't do it.
She wouldn't show him just, like, plowing a dude.
That would have been fine!
Getting in their chamber of secrets.
That would have been fine.
Showing him his prisoner of Azkaban. Giving him a little goblet of fire.
You good?
Order that phoenix. Give him a little bit of that Half-Blood Prince.
Nah, now you're just stretching.
Feeling Deathly and Hollow.
Oh, he'd get in those Deathly Hollows.
Yeah, do you ever wonder why Dumbledore's wand has all the beads at the end?
Dude, those are random beads.
It's the Elder wand.
Yeah.
Keyword Elder, they're being there. No. But like, I don't know, maybe it's not that I feel like we're due for a Harry Potter reboot, but I feel like maybe we're due for a CGI update to Harry Potter. Like, maybe a remaster.
Kind of like what they're doing with the Pokemon, the first movie, where they're doing, like, a full 3D CGI version of it that actually looks pretty dope.
I haven't seen anything. I think I saw a couple stills, and I'm like, I need to see it moving.
It actually looks really good.
I need to hear Mewtwo give his Martin Luther King speech.
Which we will, but it'll be, like, Japanese Martin Luther King to start off with. Because we're not going to get the dub for a while. If we get it.
Yeah. I mean, dubs are slow, or like getting better. They're getting faster of the turnaround. It's like, it used to be like a year. Seems like it's like, all right, we're 6 months. Now it seems like it's about 3 to 4 months on average.
Well, simul-dubs, you get 2 weeks.
Yeah, and then you have that.
But can you imagine the heartbreaking scene of Ash's death, but in full 3D? You can really see the tears coming off Pikachu's eyes.
Didn't we see him die in...
Pikachu
and,
speaks again.
I choose you.
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, he didn't just die.
He got eviscerated.
He got beyond eviscerated. He didn't exist anymore.
He had that one really weird dream where he actually went to Japan.
Wasn't that also the hallucination?
No, he was dead.
Oh, so it was his fever, death. It was the light.
It was him existing in another afterlife, and then Pikachu being like, yo, come back.
Has somebody dubbed that yet with Ryan Reynolds' voice yet? Or are we going to have to wait until like the DVD or Blu-ray comes out for Detective Pikachu?
I'm sure it's already been done, but...
Do you think people could probably, like... Is Ryan Reynolds on Fiverr? Or not Fiverr.
Fiverr.
No, not Fiverr. What's the Cameo? Do we think if people pay enough money, do we think we can get him to redub all of Pokemon, the movie?
Just like putting in voice lines instead of Pikachu's.
Yeah.
But he can understand himself.
Yeah. Or someone said that it's like because Gilbert Gottfried's not going to be Iago in the next movie. So they were saying it's like how much money would it cost through Cameo to get him to re-record all of Iago's lines, and then we make our cut of the film. It's amazing these things exist.
His lines, though.
So how do you not get Gilbert Godfrey?
Hasn't he been in hot water for a while? Like, he's made a lot of bad comments.
Gilbert Godfrey's always made bad comments. We're just now at the point in society where people are actually calling him out on it.
Maybe they just don't want to deal with it. I can see that.
So when people are like, yeah, he's made some real bad comments, I'm like, no, he's made comments for like the past decade. Just no now, one's called them out on it. But now, aware of it. Now society's in a place where they're just done taking shit and call people out on things.
Yeah. So to move forward, CW has officially picked up Ruby Rose star Batwoman and Riverdale spinoff Katie Keene.
I got so confused both when
series 2019-2020 season.
I got so confused when I read that. I'm like, are they renaming her from Kate Kane to Katie Keene? And then I had to really read it. I'm like, oh, that's an Archie character. Okay.
Yeah, no, actually, even in one of my students was telling me, because they're, for God, some unknown reason, keeping up with Riverdale still, talking about how Josie is leaving Riverdale because it's a dumpster fire to go to New York. So I'm kind of hope, because her character is actually going to be one of the main characters on Katie Keene.
Huh. So well, it'll be Anna, interesting. She's doing another show, isn't she?
No.
I thought she was. I think she thought I heard somewhere that she's doing another show on a different station, but
she's in Katie Keene. She's one of the main characters.
I mean, that's all I know. Last I read about Riverdale was that Archie and Hiram were teaming up to find out who shot him.
What
and
the fuck?
And FP was the sheriff. And I guess FP shot Hiram. I don't remember reading past that, but it was like, yeah, Hiram is tasked with finding out who shot, or FP's gonna find out who shot Hiram, but FP was the one who shot Hiram. Like, what?
And where did the bear come in?
Well, the bear was the one that attacked Archie.
It was the bear from the Revenant.
I thought the bear had the gun.
The bear just showed up from the Revenant and then
he fucked a out. Bear, John. Don't leave me
a
with
him. Bear!
It's one of my favorite memes to come out of Game of Thrones this year.
It's another one of, like, Jon seeing what Daenerys did with her dragons, and then realizing the line, we don't have the budget for him to pet Ghost. And just him staring up like, huh? It's like, look at where all the budget went. Couldn't pet the CGI poppers.
I did see a hilarious thing of Lena Headey literally got paid $1 million for the last episode to just pretty much just stand there. She probably recorded this before brunch.
In between cuts or in between takes, she was just like standing there and just out of the camera shot, like in front of her is like the brunch table, and she's just like snacking.
It's like, all right, get the grapes out of the shot and action.
Someone hand me a mini quiche.
All right, cut. Ooh, bagels.
Mini bagels
with lox.
All right. So for those of you that don't know about these CW things, armed with a passion for social justice and a flair for speaking your mind, Kate Kane soars onto the streets of Gotham as Batwoman, an out lesbian and highly trained street fighter, primed to snuff out the failing city's criminal resurgence. Meanwhile, Katie Keene's, I gotta scroll down a bunch. Katie Keene is based on Archie Comics and follows an aspiring fashion designer, Katie Keene, played by Lucy Hale, who meets Josie McCoy, fresh off the bus to chase her musical dreams. Their world is populated with the kindred spirit, starving artists, including the mysterious socialite Pepper Smith, and Broadway-bound performer George Lopez. With a J, George.
Okay,
exactly.
Okay,
and
so, Jorge Lopez, then?
Probably.
Not. Let me say George Lopez. That George Lopez?
And his drag queen alter ego, Ginger.
Hell yeah.
I'm into it.
After that one episode of Doom Patrol, like,
and why not?
I always loved RuPaul's Drag Race, and then Doom Patrol did it.
Drag shows are just fun.
Yeah. That sounds way more tame than Riverdale, and I can't wait till one of those characters also joins the Canadian mob and Papa Poutine dies again.
The bear just shows up in New York, like, hey, what's up?
Broadway dreams, guys. Broadway.
He's on a unicycle.
He's actually the quarterback for the Jets. Didn't know if you guys knew that.
That's I feel like I need to give you an applause, because even though it was just a random sports reference, you actually knew a team.
Yeah.
Of something you don't follow.
One of the worst teams, but
why do you think they have a bear as the quarterback, Steve?
They're trying everything.
Bear would probably be better.
Linebacker would have been better. That's the defense, right?
Linebacker.
Stop.
So anyway, do you think...
let's go back to my awesome sport thing.
Do you think Batwoman's going to be more of like a Hadouken person or Yoga Fire? Except she's a lesbian street fighter.
I think she'd be like Chun-Li and just do like the upside down twirling kick thing.
What was her... That's her energy ball move.
Mini Hadouken.
No.
They're all Hadoukens.
No, it's not.
There's, oh, no, she has red hair. She'd be by Blanca?
Blanca. The Brazilian child raised by eels.
Yeah.
No, he just fell into a... He learned how to harness electricity from eels, but was raised in the jungle.
Yeah. After she gets kicked out of the army, what do you think happens? Raised by eels. It's a jungle out there, Steve.
Kikoho, that's her. That's her energy ball move.
Okay. Speaking of energy balls, Disney schedules three new Star Wars movies after their supposed break.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, granted that the new films are going to be 2022, 2024, and 2026.
All right, so there's time.
There's a lot of time. No details of the new films have been announced, such as director or anything. However, they are not expected to follow the same storyline that Disney builds as concluding with December 20th Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. So are these
that new trilogy stuff then?
So it could be the Rian Johnson film, or they could be the Game of Thrones Star Wars films.
I feel like that sound... maybe that's...
Well, no. I don't know. Game of Thrones writers, they're doing a series. That's why they had to finish Game of Thrones quickly, is because they were on a very tight deadline.
Look where they got them.
To start the series.
I don't know. I just know... Well, from what I understood, is that on the rumor mill currently, there is also... there's also the rumor of, like, an Old Republic series coming out. And some people are thinking that's where the Game of Thrones people are coming from. But according to this Newsarama article, it just says Last Jedi director Rian Johnson and Game of Thrones executive producers David Benioff and D.B. Weiss have signed on to create their own series of original Star Wars films. So
that could be those.
Yeah, and all it is that Disney plans to release each film on the pre-Christmas weekend of each of those years, and I think the 2022 film is then going to go up against Aquaman 2.
We haven't heard any news about it, though.
Yeah, and this is also coming off the back of James Cameron has finally announced when the fuck Avatar is coming out, Avatar, which is 2021, 2023, and 2025.
So
don't believe any but the first date.
Again,
he filmed all four at the same time.
Yeah, clearly. How long ago was Avatar 1?
It seems weird that he's still doing this. It's like, is anyone asking for these? Like, I mean, I guess it was pretty.
Excuse me, have you seen the box office?
Sure.
We'd gladly take another Avatar film.
It's got the highest grossing film still above Avengers by... Well, half a mil?
Didn't Endgame finally take out?
No, Endgame took out Titanic.
Oh, which was like number three.
It was its iceberg.
Endgame, last I checked, I think I got checked yesterday, it was about a half a million away from Avatar.
And if you think about it, people need these Avatar films because what other 3-hour movie can you walk into and make out with someone? That's the only reason I saw Avatar twice.
I honestly don't remember half the plot of Avatar 1.
I remember Unobtainium. That's the only thing I remember.
Unobtainium, Jake Sully, and I can't even say I remember Neytiri from the movie. I remember Neytiri from Funhouse.
There's an Avatar game.
Yeah, and that's the reason I know Neytiri, because they played that. And Elise dressed up as Neytiri and kept saying her name. But other than that, I know Sigourney Weaver. Not even her character's name, just Sigourney Weaver.
I couldn't tell you a single actor in that film. Was Josh Brolin in it?
I don't
know.
Think so.
It was... blanking on his name.
He was this...
Jake Sully was played by...
Sam Rockwell?
No.
No. He was the guy who played... He was in Clash of the Titans.
Wasn't he also in Godzilla?
I want to say Sam something, but... come on, brain, work. Work.
It's been 10 years since Avatar 1. Hang on. Sam Worthington, you were right. Okay.
Sam Worthington, Zoe Saldana, Sigourney Weaver,
Stephen Lang,
Michelle Rodriguez.
Oh yeah, she was in that. After that, that's all I see that I didn't recognize.
Dude, I just... Maybe we should sit down and watch Avatar.
No, I don't...
I don't have...
I'm good.
I have other things I can do with 3 hours.
I don't need to watch it again.
Like, catch up on Doom Patrol and then watch something else.
Figure out why Zach's TV isn't accepting Chromecast anymore.
Yeah, your TV is kind of freaking out.
I don't know.
We were trying to watch Cobra Kai. We tried for like a half hour.
Oh, I've had that happen. I don't know what it does.
My Chromecast does it every once in a while, so all I have to do is like just turn my phone off. Turn it back on. Hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, Avatar.
Yeah.
If you really like it.
2154, humans have depleted Earth's natural resources, which is also known as resource depletion, leading to a severe energy crisis. Known as an energy crisis. I'm just clicking on every blue link. The Resources Development Administration, RDA for short, mines for a valuable mineral, unobtainium. On what planet?
Pandora. I know, because it was like, oh, it's the most fucking generic forested planet name.
Also, habitable moon.
My first thing was like, oh, Pandora. So like Borderlands?
One of my biggest gripes with sci-fi is like, come up with original names, people. There's more than like four names for planets here, other than Atlas, Pandora.
It's all mythology based.
Yeah, and Atlas, isn't Atlas a moon?
I'm sure there's a planet Atlas. It's a Titan. In a sci-fi
movie. Oh yeah, there's Titan, but
there's also Aaron Yeager. Last I checked.
Like, come on, come up with something else.
Ooh, what star system?
The bullshit star system.
Alpha Centauri. Excuse you.
Okay, now that one I will hop on. Why the fuck does everything revolve around Alpha Centauri?
Because it's the closest.
Right, but it's like, we have mastered space travel. We can go anywhere in the galaxy. Everyone goes to Alpha Centauri.
Well, clearly, because it's the closest. It makes the most sense.
Right, but if you had the ability to go anywhere. Also, who went to Alpha Centauri like, I found unobtainium.
Clearly, it's obtainable, not unobtainable.
Maybe it's so rare that there's only like five rocks.
There was like a whole deposit under a tree.
Yeah, that's why they had to go under the world tree or whatever the fuck they called it.
Iowa.
The world tree, whatever the fuck they called it.
I saw the Wikipedia article pulled up.
The happy fuck tree, because let's be real, if they fuck by attaching their antenna together... They do that with animals. They do it with the tree.
Ah, the tree of souls.
The fuck tree. Because again, they commune with it by attaching their antenna. They also have sex with their antenna. It's the fuck tree.
And then it can also transfer souls, apparently.
Yeah. Like, here, we're going to put your actual
body. No, that was the tree of souls. That's a separate tree. I saw the Wikipedia article pulled out.
Fuck you, James Cameron. You should have just called it good at one in Titanic. Done.
T2.
And T2.
He needed more money to go into the fucking Mariana Trench.
A lesser degree, Terminator 1. Terminator 1's still good, but T2's better. Terminator 3... And lower.
Well, that's
when
he was off it. He was the only producer.
Right.
But now we have Dark Fate. So let's see how this goes.
Also, it was an interesting battle of the non-canon Sarah Connors last night. Lena Headey was Sarah Connor in Sarah Connor Chronicles. And Amelia Clark, Sarah Connor in the new Terminator.
Oh, yeah.
So the non-canon Sarah Connors.
In the new Terminator?
The last one. No,
Genesis.
Genesis.
Yeah, Jenny Sice.
Yeah, because it's like SYS, like system. Get it? Ha ha ha.
I thought it was Genesis as in J or G-Y-N-Y.
I think it was G-E-N-S-Y-S.
Yeah. Fucking who cares? Dark Fate's going to be cool because Lyndall Hamilton's coming back. I'm crossing my fingers here. Endgame logic, everything that was going to happen in the past was predetermined to happen.
But then, you know, when you actually think about it and get down to it, it just raises a lot more questions. like the Soul Stone, they even say once it's been given, it can't be taken back.
Do you think, like, you know, when Cap goes there to, like, give it back, he just sees Red Skull and go like, whoa, what the fuck? Don't worry, I'm not Hugo Weaving.
I do kind of feel bad for Red Skull at that point, though. Like, he's like, finally, they've gotten the Soul Stone. My soul can be at peace. Then Captain America shows up, dunks it on, and be like, peace! Teleport.
Fuck.
Son of a bitch. Anybody want to give up a soul?
Alrighty. This article is so sad. Updated May 7th, 2019. Disney has officially moved the 20th Century Fox-produced New Mutants from August 2019 to April 2020.
And the most important part of that article is the quote from Maisie Williams. When the who the fuck knows when it's coming out?
So the next paragraph literally has the word if in italics. If it releases on that date, it'll be 2 full years after its original scheduled release date of April 2018. It would also go up against a date Warner Bros. Once reserved for an untitled DC film, which hasn't been scheduled, or which the updated schedule has not come out. Like, damn, dude. Some Maisie Williams to say, who knows when the fuck that's going to come out. Hopefully this interview will make everyone hurry up a bit. And they were even talking about how there was just no reshoots after the original filming.
And so, like, at this point, I know they've invested money in it, but maybe just cancel.
I feel like Disney's okay with taking that loss
there. I was going to say, like, it's not technically their money that was invested in it.
Actually, yeah, they lose nothing in this, I think.
Like, pre-Disney Fox is the one that loses. But even now, they're like, we got Disney money. It's like, have you seen Avengers? $2.5 billion, yeah.
Signing on Fox and mutant movies. Have you guys seen, like, any of the newer ads for Dark Phoenix?
They don't look as bad.
It looks so, but the tone is so weird now. It's like they're it's like the B-roll of, like, they're just calling out, like, all the X-Men, and they, like, do like a clip of them, of, like, them using their powers. I'm like, this is way different than what you were advertising
to me, my X-Men. Cyclops.
Yeah.
Jean Grey.
That's literally what it is. I'm like, what is this?
X-Men, gather.
I don't know. It was just weird to me.
That's the quote.
Not in Disney X-Men.
To be my enhanced.
To be my enhanced.
It's also interesting, too, that I think the Russo brothers have been, like, again, pulling the J.K. Rowling here and just being like, yeah, here's all this other shit that can't, either A, we weren't allowed to do, or B, we thought about doing, or C, let's explain something. And one of the things that they ended up saying is, like, after Endgame, there were talks of them doing, like, a House of M feature. But just because it's, like, you know, we didn't have enough time to really work with Scarlet Witch that much. And we just kind of moved on from there.
Oh, it's a light switch. Okay.
Well,
it's the top one. Top one doesn't work.
Top one's a light switch.
Yeah.
The bottom one's not the light switch.
Yeah. Who the fuck did the routing in this house? Anyway.
Yeah.
So in the first Disney Marvel X-Men movie, how many times do you think they're going to try and fit in the word mutant? Like, I'm imagining, like, first word of the movie is going to be mutants.
Mutants appeared.
Well, that's how the original X-Men starts. It's Patrick Stewart, like, monologuing about mutants. No,
it was Jean Grey. Because it then goes into her giving a speech to the UN, I think.
Was it?
It was like her talking about genetic mutations and...
Okay. But maybe, like, I'm thinking about Charles McAvoy's...
James McAvoy?
Sorry. Patrick Stewart, James McAvoy?
One of his first scenes is him also giving, like, a lecture.
Yeah.
No, it's Mystique bedroom, coming in, like, to their house. Kids. Why, hello. What's your name? You're like me.
It's Raven.
Harry Potter.
My name's Raven.
Those movies had so much potential.
First Class was great. Days of Future Past, pretty good.
Days of Future Past was amazing.
Apocalypse?
Yeah,
it was okay.
It was decent.
It was okay.
Except Dark Angel.
As soon as we got to the Magneto just throwing scraps of metal at Apocalypse, I'm like, all right, this is where we're at. We're playing Dragon Ball Z now.
My power level's higher than your power level.
Power levels mean nothing.
It was an arbitrary number.
It's like when you actually look at it, where it's in the Saiyan saga, they were freaked out because Goku had a power level of 9,000. Sorry, over 9,000.
Which is nothing.
And then you get to the Frieza saga, where people are in the millions of like, yeah, no, Frieza saga base form Goku could flick Saiyan saga Goku to death and not break a sweat.
Remember when Goku blocked a sword with his finger? That was cool.
He blocked it multiple times. Don't know why Trunks decided to keep using the sword. It never
worked. It only worked once.
Outside of Mecha Frieza.
Tide Pod.
No, it didn't even work for him.
When did he fight a Tide Pod?
And it was Tapion.
Sorry. It just goes to show how old those movies are and how much I actually remember what happened in them.
Like,
they had the badass flute.
You see Ellie Coleman's doing another song for Dragon Ball Z?
Yeah. I love Ellie Coleman. He's amazing.
He's doing a battle theme this time.
Is it going to be UI Goku's battle theme?
It was something for like the Tournament of Power.
So probably UI Goku, Ultra Instinct.
Maybe?
Because they just introduced him in the... on Toonami's latest episode on Saturday. Mm.
Zach's looking it up.
It is the English version of Ultimate Battle.
That's, yeah, you know, Ultra Instinct.
His voice is so silky.
It's so weird.
It's so weird.
It throws me off.
But at the same time, I could see Goku beating the shit out of someone with that music in the background.
It's to Jiren, the Jiren fight.
Yeah. Well, the first Jiren fight.
Yeah.
Because that's just Ultra Instinct Omen. He hasn't mastered it yet. He hasn't created the miniature galaxy and summoned it.
It's so weird. Yeah. Anyway. Speaking of James McAvoy, though, Chapter 2 trailer drop, or teaser trailer 2 drop.
I'm not okay with that grandma.
Dude, that grandma. I was like, oh shit, the it trailer came out, and my students all, we talk about it. I'm like, I should watch this during my lunch just to make sure. And I had like one headphone in. And then as soon as the grandma got naked in the background, I'm like, oh, can't show this.
I honestly didn't even notice that the first time.
Also, they red womaned you.
Like, she does like, she's sitting there and it's like super eerie. And it's like, you know what they say, if you die in Derry, you're never really dead.
No one who dies in Derry is actually dead. And then just like stares with a smile at
him. And I thought my video was buffering. Yeah, like, and it's like a 5-second dead stare.
Yeah, it cuts Jessica Chastain, cuts back to her. And then like...
she again, cracks the
like,
smile.
Get out, Jessica Chastain. Yeah,
I thought my video like skipped for a second because it was like how quickly she did. It was like smile and then like, so. Like,
And then she like starts to walk away as Jessica Chastain. She's playing Bev now. Is walking around like reminiscing, and she comes to a photo of a dude who looks like Pennywise. And she's like in the background of each scene, either like staring at her or doing like a Pennywise dance.
It's like the first time she's like, "Oh, come in. I'll get tea." And she walks by like a long dark hallway going back to the kitchen. And at the very end is the old lady just standing there staring. And then she goes, and they have tea talks, and they do that creepy smile scene. Starts looking at pictures, and it goes behind her, and you just see the old lady, like, peer out of, like, the doorway, like, with a smile, and then, like, go back in, and then it cuts to the photos.
No.
And then it pans up, like, it's like, yeah, my dad came here with the circus, and it's Pennywise without the clown outfit on, and then it goes back, and again, the first time I missed it, but she's, like, naked and, like, creepily, like...
Yeah, it's like...
what runs across the
like,
doorway.
You know those horror movie things where they're either, like, super bony, like, running on all fours, or they're, like, spazzing out at, like, really odd, terrible
like,
angles? Yes.
Like, their movements are super exaggerated.
It's like the Achievement Hunter video when they were doing, like, the neckies and, like, the arm pumps. Oh, so he's going to demonstrate. Oh, no, he's not going to demonstrate. I'm sad now. He's just blinded. Closing the blinds. But it's... And then she jumps at Bev, and then it flashes to like all the other characters. So we get James McAvoy, As the new Bill. We get Bill Hader as the new Finn Wolfhard character. Like, I actually like the adult cast.
Yeah.
But I thought about this. I am going to actually miss those kids because they were just so fucking good in the first film.
Fucking placebos, man. Or gazebos. They were goddamn gazebos.
The whole... Man, that first film was just so good. Like, there is a lot of charm to the old Tim Curry one, but this film was just so good. It was actually, like, legitimately scary, in my opinion. You would not do well.
No.
And that's why I was trying to tell you. I'm like...
No, I would not.
You should we'll give you the out, like when we did Cloverfield Paradox, yeah. Where you just stayed until you're noped out. I think you should do this and just see how far you would get.
No. Just no.
Because the majority of the beginning of that film... isn't that bad. It's tension. Like, up until...
That's arguably worse for me because it's just like, I'm just sitting there like, what's it gonna happen?
I'd say up until the meat locker scene.
I would say either the meat locker...
Like, that was the one that really, like, got me like, all right, shit's going down.
The projector fucked me up. Yeah. That was the worst one.
Yeah, the projector was like, nah, I'm mad.
Oh, yeah, we saw it together.
Yeah.
You were sitting next to me, yeah. And I had, like, my face covered by my hoodie.
You did, like, your extreme thing where, like... You had the legs on the seat kicked up, but your knees were in your chest, hood up, and then you did your, like, shirt tuck-in thing. Meanwhile, mine was just, like, hood up and then just cover with my hand, like,
See, I was that way when I watched Us also, and my coworker that went with me just kept slapping me on the knee laughing. Because it's like, getting scared by this. I'm like, fuck you. This sucks. I can't wait. Kayla did say, it's like, oh, we had to watch the old one the day before. Or, like... hours leading up to it just so we can get the full effect. And I'm like, why don't we just save the second one for 27 years later down the road? That way Pennywise can actually wake up. But it looks so good. I can't wait for the real trailer to actually come out and us getting a little bit. Because we get like really toothy Pennywise in the trailer. We also get Pennywise like peeling off his skin at one point. And... one thing that the movie does well, too, just because the kid actors were so beloved, is that they actually used flashbacks to the first film, which I really hope they incorporate in this, just because the original It, that was such an important part, is that they kept going back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah, like, the main body of the movie was the adults, but they had flashbacks in between, like, showing what happened, like, why, how they got to this point.
Yeah. Also, Kayla inserted her vote. She says the past tense form of yeet is yeeted. I don't think anyone thinks it's yoke.
No.
I give you... You can make an argument of it just being yeet.
Right, yeah. Like
I can see there being an argument there.
But, like yeeted does sound...
But it's
yeet. I was hanging out with so-and-so, and then I went yeet. Makes sense.
It does. Right,
but if you're like, yeah, I was hanging out with so-and-so, and I yeeted that...
See, yeeted sounds like you're, like, referring to whatever you yeeted.
Right.
Like, the physical object. Versus the action of, oh, I yeet that.
But again, that could also be, I yeeted that.
Yeah.
Again, we're arguing, the past tense of an imaginary word. And it will stay imaginary until it's actually added to the Webster Dictionary, and I will still... probably barely ever use it.
I use it all the time.
I know you do, because you're a meme lord, because you work with children.
Yeet.
That doesn't fit this context. You did not yeet anything.
You might yeet off this mortal coil.
This conversation. That's actually the only reason why I like that word, is because the fucking old man, he's like, I don't know what yeet means, but watch me as I yeet off this mortal coil.
I will, yeah, it's like, I will use it until I yeet off this mortal coil. Like, son of a bitch, old man.
Got me there.
Fucking Gen Z.
It was like when I was watching, a couple weeks ago, I was watching Megan Shipman stream, and she was doing Overcooked with Amanda Lee. And Amanda Lee would not stop saying yeet. Every time she's like, all right, I got a bun. Yeet! And I was like, all right, I'm going to yeet you this cheese. To the point where it got, where Megan had to shout, stop yeeting the cheese! I'm like, all right.
And then, I mean, we also have YouTubers to blame. Laserbeam.
For me, it's the Russian Badger. Anytime he does a Rainbow Six and they throw a grenade, it's yeet.
I started doing that, like, towards the end of, before my big break from Siege. I'm like, I'm going to yeet over this.
It's a good word. Me sometimes.
I disgust a lot of people, actually. And all the time instead of just sometimes. Alrighty. Moving forward, moving into gaming news. The Final Fantasy VII Remake trailer. We got our first look at Aerith. It looks as real as I thought it was when I was a child. That's where I'm at right now.
What I love is there are people who, like, when that came out, someone was like, took the pictures of Aerith and like, we must protect this sweet Cinderella at all costs. And the first reply was like, I've got bad news for you, champ.
Well, someone was like, again, someone got pissed off. It's like, someone just spoiled Final Fantasy VII for me. Dude, you had 20 years.
I was gonna say, like, 22 years.
Like, you're past the moratorium on that.
25 years.
But I didn't play this game.
No, 22. Dude, I was right.
If you look at any Final Fantasy game, not even every Final Fantasy game, if you just look at Final Fantasy lore, number one, Aerith's death. Number two is Tidus is a dream. Number three is Aeron became butterflies. Like, I mean, these are things that are just like...
It's known.
I know. I was you and me were talking about it. See, I'm like, man, it looks so good. Now we get to watch Aerith die in beautiful HD.
You can really see the katana going right through her. And again, but my favorite thing about that whole scene is the game theory that Sephiroth didn't kill Aerith.
Cloud did. He drowned her.
Yeah, she wasn't dead. She was just in a catatonic shock state. And Cloud putting her in the water, she sank. Dead people float.
You'll float too.
Exactly. Dead people float. So the fact that she sank like a brick, she was still alive, breathing air.
If.
Kill yourself.
The combat looks interesting too.
It looks like, very 15-ish.
It kind of reminded me of like a hybrid of 15 and 13
Lightning Returns.
Lightning Returns.
Yeah, where you have just the one attack spam button, yeah. And then you have your abilities.
Yeah, and you have like a set amount of like stamina more AP. Or less.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see how they're going to do limit breaks.
Oh, Omni Slash is gonna look so good.
Yeah.
Barret looks fucking awesome.
Take Sephiroth into the sky and just overkill him
in
beautiful HD.
Vincent's gonna look amazing. Like, I just think about
Red 13.
Advent Children. Just like
I made the comment. I'm like, we'll just be playing Advent Children at this point, right?
And think about how good Advent Children still actually looks today.
From 2001.
And the, you know, there's the HD remake in 9, I think. 2009?
Yeah.
But it's like, oh god, DLC costumes. You get Dirge of Cerberus, Vincent, you get Cloud.
Advent Children Cloud with his
Seven Swords.
Yeah, Buster Sword 2.
You get the Rusty Buster Sword. The Ruster Sword. We've lived together for far too long.
That's the title of this one.
It was like, the Ruster Sword. Like, I'm not going to say it.
But what if all three of us said it?
Oh, it's too good.
Well, no, because it was that thought of like, I could say it. That's stupid. Someone else will say it.
Let's think about the intro for this episode. No, I just keep thinking about like all the stuff that's going to look amazing. Like Sephiroth coming out of the fire at the Genova lab. Yuffie just existing. Sid.
Red 13.
Red 13 is going to look crazy awesome.
Like, Yuffie looks so good.
Like saucer. I can't wait to go on a date with Barret.
Can't wait to never use Kate Sith. Because fuck Kate Sith's little break. A slot machine that could kill your whole party. Why not?
It's like Primrose in Octopath. Where it's like, here. Yeah. Here's her four
gamble
thing. You can either get times 100 XP or you can revive all of your enemies. Your pick. Cool.
So again, this is the recommended way to grind. Really? I don't know.
I just killed my entire party. Again.
Yeah. It's still interesting that it's going to be episodic, but we were also discussing it, and we were like, well, what if it was in three discs, right? So what if...
Yeah, no, the lights will do that.
Okay.
It's an endless fight, or like one bulb will just turn off and turn back on. I don't know if they unscrew themselves, or...
I wonder what if it's when something turns on.
I'm turned
AC on. AC could have turned on. But...
I can't wait. Final Fantasy is just a series that will never die.
No.
And I'm so glad it never will.
The question is, do you think it comes out anytime soon?
No. I can wait. I will fully wait.
I will say, if not late this year, early next year.
Because Square has said it, and apparently in their,
state of play?
Not state of play, but like their financial calls. They have a big title
investor meeting.
Yeah, coming out in Q3 2019. Right. And it might get pushed to Q4 2019. That, I mean, granted, we haven't seen Avengers. Could also be that. We don't know yet.
Yeah, whatever their E3 state of play equivalent is going to be. They're just like, yeah, Avengers game coming out next month. Suck it, nerds. Y'all said it wouldn't happen. And it didn't for 4 years.
It's been a while since we saw that teaser.
So excited for that teaser too.
We still don't know what the game is yet.
Oh shit. Final Fantasy Avengers? Hell yeah. Nothing ever since.
I don't think we'll ever see that game.
I think we will. I think
Avengers, there's too much money riding on it for it not to exist.
They made like what, a 3 or 4 game partner dealship with?
Yeah.
I think so.
But it's one of those things that like I would have expected it to come out like around Endgame. You know? Just to ride the coattails.
I mean, it could. I mean, I could realistically seeing that be the 2019 release they have. Since, I mean, again, it's been so... It's like, all right, Square's having its press conference. June 10th, I think. I think it's like the Sunday of E3. It's like, all right, we're waiting to see something from Avengers. It's got to be that. We know Final Fantasy VII is going to be there. We don't really know what else they could really show. Maybe
Final Fantasy X, DLC. Actually. It's crazy. That game's also coming out again. Satan?
Yeah, that's what I dealt with the whole time in this room.
Sorry, speaking of Satan, I'm just reminded of Greg Miller on Hardcore Tabletop once again pledging his allegiance to the Dark Lord for a good dice roll.
Did it work?
No.
Aw, Satan betrayed him this time.
We're down to the final three in Hardcore Tabletop. Real money.
Is Fredo still in it?
Yes. It's Fredo, Chilled, and Chad, which is Kraken.
Chad Kraken.
My papa. I love Kraken so
much. Who may or may not be Donald Trump.
Oh, God.
Yes.
May or may not be a future Donald Trump.
I think this year is going to be really interesting in video games, too. I'm really excited for Fallen Order.
Fallen Order has potential. I want to be optimistic and think we're gonna get Last of Us Part Two maybe late this year, but I feel like that's gonna get pushed to next year.
I don't think so. I think they've made so many announcements of we're done with this stage and this stage and this stage that
I think we'll get a release date.
It's close, but I don't know how close.
I think it'll be by end of year.
I could see it. At the same time, when does Sony announce? Did they just announce it on State of Play? Because that doesn't seem...
I think it'll be...
It's not like... Again, usually they want to save that for a big stage, I feel.
Right. I think... But since they're not doing E3, I think it'll be there.
It's going to have to. Well, they want to show it.
Right, but they announced they're not doing an E3.
Right, yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. If they're not doing E3, the only way they could announce it realistically is on a State of Play.
Right, but I think whatever they... their E3 replacement State of Play is going to be a big event. Like, they're not going to be like, yeah, we rented out a whole theater, and for some reason...
And then shift everybody to another theater.
A pop-up church, and then have a flute guy. I think it's going to be
guy.
More like a Nintendo Treehouse.
Yeah, Ghost of Tsushima's got to be close, too, right? We haven't seen anything about that game since E3.
I think we'll learn about a lot of games in a couple months.
They're trying to find another flute soloist.
There's a trifecta we're waiting for from Sony. Freaking Death Stranding, Ghost of Tsushima, and Last of Us Part 2. I feel like Death Stranding could be the sleeper that is just like, surprise, bitches, it's here.
It's out exclusively on the Nintendo Switch. What?
What? Gotcha.
Sir, it's against the rules. That's illegal.
Sony press conference out. I have so many questions.
You too can have a fetus with Norman Reedus.
Are you talking like you two, like Bono, or?
Yes.
New announcement. Bono will be in Death Stranding.
Along with the Ruster Sword. Just keep going with that.
Who else is on Kojima's, like, celebrity friends list that he could just, like, drop the bomb with?
We know we got Guillermo.
Rooster Teeth.
Mads Mikkelsen.
He's kind of friends with them now.
Well, like, Greg Miller is somehow a character now.
I was going to say, like, what if, like, the next announcement, like, out of nowhere is, like, it's like, and the new, like, main antagonist of the game, George Clooney. Like, what?
That'd be weird.
Curveball, Kojima. Didn't know you knew Clooney.
It's actually Solid Snake. It's all secretly a Metal Gear game.
Bum, bum, ba-dum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. It's like, you will be fighting all of Ocean's 11. Even Don Cheadle, even Don Cheadle.
And when you're finished with Ocean's 11, you have the Logan Lucky DLC.
What did that be? Oh, man. Just, it's a low-key. Like, there's all these low-key, like, Metal Gear references. Throughout it is just a giant middle finger to Konami.
And then all of a sudden, it's just Zone of Enders. Like, you get in a robot and you
dude,
just...
Dude, don't even fucking tease me with that.
Yeah.
No, I'm just thinking, like, there's so many interesting game releases coming. Like, I'm starting to see ads for Pokemon Sword and Shield coming out on Instagram now. I'm like, God, are we that close?
I haven't seen anything come out about it. I'm still waiting for one of the two things for them to announce for me to make my decision on the type of game I get.
The legendary.
Legendaries. And then what the fuck are the starters Final Evolution? I've always chosen my starter based on Final Evolution outside of Red and Blue. That one I went with my gut.
I've picked a water type for all of except for Gen 3. Because I hate Mudkip. I love axolotls. I hate Mudkip.
I'm sorry you hate happiness.
We already knew this. You knew me in high school.
What, did you go with the fighting chicken instead?
I did.
No, I went with Chico.
Fuck yeah, Blaziken.
Fair second pick, but Mudkip.
Chico can learn dragon moves.
But Swampert. I think Blaziken can as well.
Yeah, but you're like double weak against Chico by that point. Sceptile.
Yeah.
And then if you start with Groudon, you get Sunny Day, and you can just fuck him with Solar Beam whenever you want.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, that's where I was.
Yeah.
And then you get an action replay and just catch all the other Pokemon.
You get Emerald. And like, yeah, no, everything's mine.
Okay. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to Pokemon. That's pretty much the only thing on my... Oh, and Siege is teasing their new operators right now. They're teasing the Dutch operator. It's like, what can you see? And it's like a swirly smoke thing. And I'm like, ooh, are we getting Attack Vigil?
That was the rumor, yeah. It was Attack Vigil.
I can't wait.
Do we get the Dutch boy?
So Attack Vigil to counter Mozzie, essentially.
Attack Vigil versus regular Vigil.
Is it the Dutch boy is going to come in his clogs?
Oh. I don't know if that's how Dutch people speak, but
he's the Dutch.
Like double dashing, like
put on freaky deaky
jump ropes. All right, my phone died.
So you're not excited for Fire Emblem?
I keep forgetting that's coming out.
Yeah, there's actually quite a few Switch games coming out in August, in like late July.
It's gonna be interesting to see everything. I just had someone like spam my Instagram account.
Good lord, is it a bot?
No, it's one of my students. Not sure what's worse.
I was gonna say, is it a stalker? No, it's not a student.
Can it be a bot?
So worse.
So it is a stalker.
I was say, one of my students. Oh, so you have to see them every day.
Oh no. Oh no.
So what's really cool too? Again, Microsoft is leading the charge of just being fucking amazing. So in 2018, Microsoft released the Xbox Adaptive Controller to improve gameplay accessibility for people with mobility disorders such as cerebral palsy. We all saw Zack Anner fight people in
Killer Instinct.
Yeah, the Microsoft game. And he destroyed some people there. And 1 month later, they filed a patent for another Xbox accessory that would allow for visually impaired players to interact with their favorite games using Braille. So the patent recently published by the World Intellectual Property Office and first spotted by Let's Go Digital says the accessory, which would attach to the back of the controller as shown in the figure below, comprises of 6 different finger paddles that would provide haptic feedback to the blind and otherwise visually impaired players, allowing them to receive input Braille characters by pressing the paddles. The accessory would also be capable of converting text or audio into Braille output, as well as converting voice commands into Braille input. This
pretty
thing,
fucking wild.
Yeah, it's so fucking cool. Like, if you look at the diagram, it's like a nice large pad that would go into your from the back of your controller into your Xbox, and then there's the different paddles to help with the function of the game. And then it goes on to explain, the patent goes on to explain that enhanced graphics in today's games and fast-paced games such as fighting games like Mortal Kombat or Tekken have made gameplay extremely difficult for blind players because the gameplay is lagged by the game's accompanying audible feedback. The article goes on to say, although the gaming industry has made progress to improving a game's general accessibility, a need remains to improve for game controllers and accessories that address the very specialized manner in which visually impaired or blind users interact with games. I think this is really cool. Like, just...
will it become real? Who knows? But the fact that they're doing still, like, at least trying to make an effort for it, like, is amazing.
Yeah, I've actually seen one of the adaptive controllers, like, be used. And it's so cool to watch someone take that and then, like, play Halo for the first time. Like, it's so cool witnessing this, like... I always put Halo as the monumental quintessential moment in gaming. Just because that was such a big deal in the OG Xbox days. So watching someone play Halo, I'm like, oh, you understand the journey now. I don't know.
So many hours in Halo 3.
All right, I need to know context of this headline. Rami Malek to hunt a serial killer with Denzel Washington.
Oh, did you see that Taika Waititi is going to be Hitler?
What?
Okay. You explain your thing first, then I'll explain my thing.
I don't know an explanation.
It
I just
sounds
saw that
like a new show. Sounds like... oh, well, why not? I was going to say, wait, True Detective? But no, they already showed what that was going to be.
See, the movie is about a burned-out deputy sheriff, Washington, who teams up with a hotshot city cop, Malek, to reel in a wily serial killer. Apparently the older guy's ability to watch out for the little things is very helpful, and his willingness to cut corners gets his new younger partner stuck in a difficult situation. So it sounds, instead of like a hard-hitting like drama, it sounds more like a comedy buddy cop film.
Yeah, definitely sounds
which
like it, that's
what I'm okay for. With.
You guys want to hear about Hitler now?
Sure.
Taika Waititi's Hitler satire, Jojo Rabbit, lands fall release date. Comedy from Fox Searchlight stars Thomasin McKenzie, Scarlett Johansson, Sam Rockwell, and Rebel Wilson. Taika Waititi's next film, Jojo Rabbit, in which director stars as an imaginary version of Adolf Hitler, will be released by Fox Searchlight on October 18th. The film is described as an anti-hate satire. Jojo Rabbit is Taika Waititi's follow-up to Thor Ragnarok and Hunt for the Wilder People. Before that, it's based on the novel Caging Skies by Christine Lunens. Set during World War II, the story follows a lonely German boy whose worldview is turned upside down when he discovers that his single mother, played by Scarlett Johansson, is hiding a young girl in their attic. Aided only by his idiotic imaginary friend, Adolf Hitler, played by Taika Waititi, Jojo must confront his naive patriotism.
It's
my version of a lonely boy's best version of a superhero, which is really his dad. Waititi's depiction of Hitler isn't meant to be a sympathetic one. Rather, the character is a combination of Jojo's father and the Führer, and shows a boy who misses his dad and is confused by propaganda, Nazi propaganda around him.
Sounds amazing. I want to see this now.
All right.
Just saying.
Oh. What a fucking
title. I love Taika Waititi. Did you guys also see that he's going to be, Wesley Snipes appeared in the latest episode of What We Do in the Shadows?
No.
He appeared as Blade.
Oh my god. I need to watch amazing. The show now.
I guess we doesn't Fox still technically own Blade, so they can do that?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
This is the world we live in. I'm really excited for Taika Waititi to be Hitler. Like, I want him to wear the jumper. Like the pineapple jumper Korg wears.
But just as Hitler.
Just as Hitler.
The romper, you mean?
Yeah, the romper, sorry.
Anyway.
Sorry to bring Hitler back in the conversation.
Why not?
What do you mean back? We were talking about Hitler before.
Sorry, we were talking about Hitler earlier today.
Okay.
You were.
We're reading Julius Caesar, and one of the kids was like, so did all this actually happen? Like, was there really a Rome and a Julius Caesar and everything?
Yes.
Yes, yes, child. Yeah.
Caesar was so important that when Hitler took over Germany, he became Tsar.
Kaiser.
Kaiser. Yeah. And then Russian Tsar, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's also based off that.
Caesar. Shout out to you, Julius Caesar. Not shout out to you, Hitler. But shout out to you, Taika Waititi, Hitler.
That's it. Like, but when like the Russians made their version of Tsar, did they just like not see his name written out, but just hear Caesar's name? Because look at how it's spelled. Caesar.
I think it's literally just the convenient trans. Well, it's also because Russian is based off Greek, so that kind of helps translate it.
Right, but if they're like, yeah, no, his name was Caesar. It's like, C-Z-A-R. Caesar.
All right. Last piece of news today. This is coming for comics. Something that we normally sometimes talk about. Marvel Comics has released another wave of creator announcements for whatever it's got planned in August 2019, which was later revealed to be Marvel Comics issue 1000. Just Marvel Comics issue 1000. Not any particular superhero.
I'm pretty sure they're past 1,000 Marvel Comics at this point.
Yeah.
Unless they're talking like our 1,000 series. That I would buy.
So, in a new wave of announcements, which were heralded ahead of time by Marvel Comics editor-in-chief C.B. Sobolewski, we are tabulating all the names for each creator. So, Jason Aaron and Goran Parlov.
Are you really about to read all 98?
No, I'm going
to
read the ones that I like. So, Jason Aaron, Saladin doing with Steve Rude, Ed Brisson with George Fornes, Kurt Busiek with Cameron Stewart, Donny Cates with Jeff Shaw, Peter David, Adam Kubert, Kelly Sue with David Lopez, Tom DeFalco. Al Ewing is on this list 12 times.
Yeah.
Kieran Gillen is going to be working on it. Patrick Gleason, who recently signed a Marvel contract. Joe Hill and Mike Allred. I'm excited for whatever the fuck that is. Jonathan Hickman, Dustin Weaver, James Latour by himself, Jeff Lemire by himself, Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale, Phil Lord, Christopher Miller, and Javier Rodriguez. They're also getting old names back, like Brad Metzler. Gail Simone's going to be working on something, too. And one of the biggest ones that came out was J. Michael Straczynski doing something.
Wow.
And then we also got fan favorites like David F. Walker, Chip Zdarsky, Jim Zub. And basically what this issue is going to be each one of these creative teams has a page in Marvel Comics 1000 to tell a story, I think, was what I ended up reading at some point. So it's going to be like a big kind of anthology thing, just like we got with Detective and Action 1000. But because Marvel doesn't have any really cool superheroes who are as old as Batman and Superman, they're just like, fuck, Marvel 1000.
We're nowhere close to what's Spider-Man up to? Fuck, we're not even close yet.
What do you mean it's in the... It's actually Spider-Man's in the 900s now. Dan Slott left at 902. But if we combine all of the other Spider-Man titles together, it's clearly over that. Whatever.
So Spider-Man, a bi-weekly or monthly?
Sometimes tri-monthly.
Jesus.
Okay. Right now, I'm getting Amazing Spider-Man. And sometimes Amazing Spider-Man comes out with 19.1, which is part of the same story, but it's a side story you don't necessarily need. And sometimes I get it, no. It's not 19.1. It's 19.HU because the main storyline right now is The Hunted.
That is now worse.
Marvel, why?
1,000, Steve.
Fucking Christ.
But sometimes Spider-Man comes out bi-weekly. Sometimes I get 3 issues of Spider-Man in a month.
So main series is bi-weekly.
Yeah.
Okay. So if they're in the 900s, so about 50 months. So.
But remember, they reset after Legacy. So after Dan Slott left, they're like, all right, Nick Spencer, it's yours. Amazing Spider-Man 1. What? Yes, 1.
But we just spent all this marketing on getting back to Legacy numbering.
1.
1.
The Legacy number will be in the corner in a little black box.
Okay, dude. Marvel.
Amazing Spider-Man 25 just came out this week.
Marvel,
explain. Get your shit together.
Meanwhile, Spectacular Spider-Man's in the 300s.
Spectacular.
Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man is where it's at right now. Tom Taylor's killing it when he's not killing everyone at DC. Again.
It's the cabin.
Speaking of killing.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what he finished inside of the cabin. Was that where Deceased came from?
No, you know it was finished in that cabin. His soul.
New corporal form, who dis?
The vessel for the Dark Lord Satan was finished.
So, I didn't get to watch any movies this weekend. I really wanted to go see Detective Pikachu, and I also wanted to see Tolkien. But
I saw that shit.
I saw my favorite thing about Detective Pikachu. And it was... Shit, where did it go?
But is it the whole thing of someone complaining, like, oh man, you need to know Pokemon to enjoy this movie?
That one no, me off it was, anything. I want Detective Pikachu to be real to the classic detective tropes. I want him to be at a bar drinking his bottle of ketchup, so it's true to the anime, and then saying his wife left him.
Well, they got a couple of those things. He was at the bar, but he was drinking coffee.
Did his wife leave him?
His wife was dead.
Oh. Pikachu, man.
But not really. He was just at the cafe drinking coffee.
I also read something, like, the Pokemon Company saw an early version of film, and they were like, they were uncomfortable by Lickitung.
And then I was too.
And then they were like...
Yeah, no, you're right, though.
They were trying to convince either the writer or the director not to include Mr. Mime because they just weren't sure how that would translate. And I heard Mr. Mime was probably like one of the best parts of the film.
It was a good part of the film, but Mr. Mime is still a creepy fuck. And if I ever saw one in real life, I would punch it in the face. And run away because, like, just... I appreciate that they made Pokemon look organic and that they belong in the world. Not Mr. Mime. Mr. Mime looked too organic and that he belonged in the world too well. That, like, I could imagine walking down the street and running into a Mr. Mime, and that terrifies the ever-living shit out
just
of me.
No. No, 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 no.
Would you rather encounter a Mr. Mime or a Jinx?
Nightmare fuel or racism?
Ooh, even better. Would you rather fight a Hitmonchan or a Hitmonlee?
Have I been training any martial arts? Or am I just going in, like, off the street, like, bar brawl?
Bar brawl.
Hitmonchan.
Really?
He's got little stick legs.
He's small.
You sweep the leg and he goes down. All he's got is punch moves. Hitmonlee, his legs extend. See, like, if you ever played Pokemon Stadium and you use his, like, high jump kick, the leg extends. Like,
see, I would worry about Hitmonchan because it has, like, that dynamic punch that's always first hit. And then it's like, oh, ice punch. And then you're just frozen. Or you get electric punched.
So I think I'd rather take on a Hitmonchan.
Like, if you get for Hitmonlee, you just jump on his back and, like, go for the head.
He has extendo legs. You don't think he can, like, kick behind him and, or even, like, kick above his head?
That's fair.
Except, like, punches can hurt. Kicks can hurt a lot worse.
But a flaming punch.
A flaming kick.
A mock punch.
A high jump kick.
Also, there's no flaming kick moves in Pokemon.
There is. Really? Blaziken. No flame kick.
Oh, Blaze Kick.
Yeah,
Blaze Kick.
Sorry.
Which, I'm assuming that would also translate over to the kicking Pokemon.
That's fair. So, what were your thoughts about Detective Pikachu?
It was great. I loved it.
Yeah.
I need to go see it again because I did the same thing that I tried not to do, but I did it, like, with Ready Player One, where I was just so mystified by everything in the world of, like, whenever something new would come on, like, oh, shit, a Rufflet. Oh, a Sneasel. Oh, Bulbasaur. I'd kind of missed some plot
points. Oh, fuck, a Pikachu!
I was like, oh, look at Snorlax. Oh, look at that Machamp. Oh, it's awesome. Fuck you, Mr. Mime, you nightmare fuel piece of shit.
Remember what about the Growlithe?
They were adorable and I would love them, and Panchams are my son, and I would have killed a person to steal one. Like, I would love to just walk to the screen, have a Pancham pull into the real world and be like, this is mine now.
I feel like Ludicolo would be like my teaching assistant. If for that reason exactly. Because I make those weird noises like, ah! And it's just like, it's my son. But why? You want to see why? Ludicolo, do the thing.
That's why. Goodbye.
Just hop it up on Red Bull.
Man, they did a great job of making everything look like it belongs. Like, everything had the right texture, the right shading, to where it didn't look like Roger Rabbit. Words are hard. Where it's like you can easily tell, like, oh yeah, they're cartoons. They don't belong. But this one was like, that looks like a natural animal that could be running around. Except the plot was good too, even though it was based off a not so great game. The Detective Pikachu game was not that good. But, you know, they did a good job of getting the story out there while making it feel like this is a good Pokemon movie. It's a great video game movie too. Like, there's some like little like teases and haha pokes at like Pokemon, and like there's one point where Pikachu's walking on a bridge singing the original song, the original theme song.
That's amazing.
And like the end credits are like a retro throwback with the music and some of the visuals, and so they do a good job of not just making a movie, but making a Pokemon movie.
Okay, so video game movies, higher or lower than Mortal Kombat?
Higher.
And that's the only one that matters. Detective Pikachu, Mortal Kombat.
And Resident Evil 1.
I make that argument.
Yeah, it's
only Resident... Well, and Silent Hill.
I forgot about that. What about that Frankie Muniz one where they played a game and died in real life?
That wasn't a video game, and the only reason anyone, and I mean anyone, remembers that movie is you die in the game, you die for real. That's the only reason anyone remembers that movie.
I was going to say it was always on TNT when I was a kid.
That's the first time I ever saw it, too. I was like, what the hell is this? And I remember watching it all the way through, like, what did I just watch?
They're throwing the roses, man.
I don't even know what movie you're talking about.
You don't know about this movie?
No.
Like, you quote it all the time with us, too.
Is that where the quote comes from?
You
say the quote
all the time. You can watch the trailer.
I thought it was just a meme.
No. You can watch the trailer, and the quote is at the end of the trailer.
Frankie Muniz. Video game movie.
It's like they all play a PC game.
Stay Alive.
Yes. Shit you not. Watch the trailer, and towards the end, you'll hear the line.
Huh. I feel, never mind. I was gonna say Street Fighter.
That movie. I will put like I love it. It doesn't deserve critical.
It's the good bad.
Like
it's enjoyable, but we know it's
for
awful.
Me. It was a Tuesday. Like Jean-Claude Van Damme, who is not American, playing the American fighter Guile.
You know, he turned down being Johnny Cage in Mortal Kombat to do Guile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fun fact. Because how did this get made?
He put more faith in Street Fighter than he did in Mortal Kombat. Joke's on him. Mortal Kombat was a much better movie. Because they didn't give a shit. They knew what they were making.
I was listening to the How Did This Get Made for Mortal Kombat. And it reminded me so much of things that I just totally blocked out. Like, at the end of the movie was Raiden, played by a white dude who's supposed to be, like, a Japanese god, comes up to Liu Kang, ruffles his hair, is like, yeah, we did good today. I'm proud of all of you. And then the demon comes out of the ground.
Yeah, no, that's when Shao Kahn shows up. And, again, I don't know if they didn't plan on making a sequel at first.
They weren't.
Because it's Shao Kahn comes up, just Shao Kahn, and then, like, shadow minions pop up. And then, like, that's the end of the movie. Then Mortal Kombat Annihilation starts. It's then Shao Kahn, Sindel, Motaro. I'm trying to think who else pops up to, but they all show up too. And then it cuts, like, the last shot is all of the Mortal Kombat fighters, the Earthrealm fighters, like, striking a fighting pose. And then again, it picks up right from that moment, cuts back to the fighters, different actor for Raiden, different actor for Johnny Cage.
Johnny Cage dies immediately
because he tries to shadow kick Shao Kahn, which he never uses a shadow kick in Mortal Kombat 1, but suddenly knows how to do it. Shao Kahn, like, no, picks him up, snaps his back, and, like, Johnny Cage is dead. Move on.
Yeah, Baned.
No, he got worse than Baned. Batman survived. Johnny Cage got punched in the face. Have
you seen the Mortal Kombat movie?
Snapped in half.
No.
Dude. I think we should watch it.
I've seen clips of it.
Mortal Kombat 1 is so good.
Again, the two video game movies that matter. Let's not talk about Blood Rain. Let's not talk about...
You can...
A lot.
If you're mentioning video game movies, you cannot mention a single one directed by Uwe Boll.
No. That's fair.
Because...
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, he's the one who did Blood Rain and all of the... I think he also did Alone in the Dark and a few others because he found a loophole to where any expenses that the movie could have incurred, he could use his tax write-off so he didn't have to pay taxes. That's the only reason some of those movies exist.
Interesting.
Anything, like, so if you look up anything by Uwe Boll, don't watch it.
Don't want to watch any of his movies. They're awful.
They were cash grab tax exemptions.
I was actually kind of excited for the new Hitman movie, but that wasn't good.
The first one was good with Timothy Oliphant. Second one with the actor, I don't even know his name, but then Siler played the bad guy who had Kevlar put in under his skin so he could match the hitman in a fist fight. I shit you not, that was the twist of like he's fighting Siler and he's like, yeah, you can't kill me. I have body armor under my skin.
What?
Fucking what?
Well, a knife still cuts through Kevlar.
He had body armor. It was supposed to be like, I'm like your ultimate anti-weapon.
And then we all thought Assassin's Creed was going to be good.
No.
It was all right.
So Detective Pikachu, Mortal Kombat, we move on with life.
We don't need to talk about any others.
Mortal Kombat, Silent Hill, Resident Evil.
Can't wait for the Tetris movie. Again, how close are we to the Super Smash Bros. Cinematic Universe? We got Sonic, we got Mario, we got Pikachu, we got Jigglypuff, we got Charizard. We're getting there.
I think my favorite all-time clip now is thanks to Megan Shipman is there was some, I think it was a screening of Detective Pikachu.
Yeah, the sultry look that Mr. Mime gives you is unsettling. And then they replied back to her, like, but what is Mr. Mime thinking, Megan?
No. That's not the one I was thinking. Oh, no. It was the one she retweeted of. It was the Sonic trailer, and everybody in the theater just went meow. It was like, how are you all meme lords?
Well, and then I saw another one where it's like, yeah, Jeff Future is great, except for the Sonic trailer at the beginning, where everyone in the theater audibly groaned when it came on.
Did you hear about the movie theater with all the kids where instead of playing Detective Pikachu they played Crystal Ya Llorona?
Oh my god.
And no one noticed for like half an hour.
Oh no.
That happened, like, that kind of happened in one of the theaters I went to like long ago where like we were in the theater for a movie and it started playing I think it was like we were there for it was Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and they started playing The Circle before. And no one mentioned it until, like, we're all just watching, like, oh, shit, I didn't know Hermione was in this. And then I was like,
wait a second.
Wait, this is The Circle.
All right, so my important question before we start closing things out, did you get your pack of Pokemon cards?
I did not.
Oh.
I saw them on the table, and I didn't want to, like, reach for them after I got my ticket scanned. I was like, no, I'm an adult.
So?
Those are for the kids. But if I go back a second time, I'm getting my fucking pack of cards.
You gonna come with me on Saturday?
Maybe. Because my dad's been like, yeah, I want to see that movie too. I'm like, well, Papa, would you like to take your son to see another Pokemon movie like 20 years later, because he took me to see, or no, it would be less than 20, because he didn't take, yeah, he took me to see Pokemon 2000, because he won tickets on a radio contest to an advanced screening, which, like, for little me was like, we get to go see Pokemon 2000 in the theaters early. Let's go.
Say no more.
All right. Oh, the reason why I was thinking about Hitler, I finally figured it out.
Oh, God. Why?
No, because my phone is at 1% battery. And the last time I thought about Hitler, my phone was at 1% battery. I was trying to explain to my coworker the Hitler game that we used to play in high school.
Oh, where you just go through Wikipedia until you, how many clicks until you can get to Hitler?
Yeah.
Degrees of separation of Hitler.
Yeah. So we went to like Wikipedia's main page and then he got there in like four clicks.
Well, that's a whole website game now.
Yeah.
That gives you two topics. It'd be like, this is your end topic. Here's your starting topic. How many clicks can you... And it like it links to Wikipedia and keeps track of your clicks. And it's like you're in a competition with people.
Nice.
To where it's like, all right, you need to connect amino acids to the atomic bomb.
Oh, that's easy. Well, that's reasonable.
But it's like, how many clicks can like can you get there in like two clicks? Or like, this person got here in four clicks. Can you beat that? It's like,
so when is the battle royale version of that trap?
I think it already is a battle royale when you get like
it's amazing
a bunch of people in a lobby because it like and it's not just like how many clicks to take, it's how many times can you get like different chains.
Oh, you'll enjoy this. Tetris 99
single player now.
Yeah.
Oh shit, I need to go download that because
I don't know if it's out yet, but it's or maybe it is.
It's
out.
A $10 DLC.
It's coming out soon.
So you have to you're ending up paying for it, but you unlock all the different game modes. And again, we're all Amazon Prime, Twitch Prime people, so yeah. We all get the free 3 months.
Yeah,
and
it's then weird. Free it's like
6 months or year or 9 months.
Yeah, it's like yeah, 3 months, and then 90 days later you get your 9 months. It's like you got to stick with us, motherfucker.
I forgot to renew it or redeem it. I wonder if the deal's still going.
It's still going, but I think I need to. I think I'm like 15 days away from.
I'm close.
Mine.
I just need to start trading Pokemon and Let's Go, so I can. Start working on my Pokedex. It's the only thing I care about.
Neat. Anyway.
Even though you could probably just use Pokemon Bank when Sword and Shield come out and transfer your Sun and Moon living decks over.
Well, I would...
Is that going to be on Switch? Have they confirmed that?
No. I don't think they confirmed, but they'd be stupid possibility. Not to... If they're doing a mainline series...
Well, remember, my phone console. Can't connect to my Switch, so I can't even trade stuff from Pokemon Go into my Switch, which is stupid. Because I could have easily completed my Pokedex.
Right, but Pokemon Bank doesn't use your phone.
I know.
It just uses the Nintendo online service.
But if we're looking at Nintendo and all their other smart business decisions regarding online services, let's just not talk about it.
Yeah.
Alright, so we're going to close out. Anything else? Anyone else have any other related topics?
Yeah, I was going to say, me today? I was gonna say Game of Thrones, but it's too late. And honestly... I don't want to get into it. Like good. The more I was thinking about it, I was just, like,
"Yeah,
like, I have like, my opinions."
There's one episode left now.
Said I even made notes, but at this point, I don't care enough to go through them all.
I thought it was really interesting that Danny's clothing from the beginning of season to now just got redder and redder and redder until it went full black.
Well, yeah, it's like black and red. Well, yeah, that's one of the things I saw. I was like, her and Cersei had essentially like matching colors with like the muted crimson.
Can I show you my favorite clip from Game of Thrones this week, though?
Was it the Clegane Bowl?
No.
Which was
better.
Probably the best part, Sandor Clegane MVP of the episode.
Should I just play it into the mic? It's an audio clip.
Is it spoilery?
I know what Cersei has told you. That I've come to destroy your cities.
So this is from season 7.
Murder you and orphan your children.
My phone's on 1% battery, so I hope I get to the next 10 seconds.
I feel like I know where this is going. Yep. I have a feeling where I know where this is going.
I was sitting there, like, listening to this, I'm like, oh, this is the Always Sunny thing.
No, that's
the...
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's how they end their episodes.
Yep, so that, and then it's just the montage of what happened in that last episode.
Fire. She even said it. Like season 4.
Remember when Cersei was real upset when the dragons killed that one kid?
And she locked him away.
Yeah. Also, rest in peace, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that was so funny.
Fucking weird.
Like, well, and like, when I saw that scene, I'm like, That's got to be someone important. Like, they focus too much on him specifically. And turns out, Aaron Rodgers.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
All right, so thank you guys for listening to a brand new episode of the ZD Podcast. You can hit us up. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're at
ZDPodcast.com/comment.
And we talk to you guys all very actively on there. If you mention something, we bring it up on air. Live reactions, real views. And if you do so, you can also hit us up on the fucking iTunes or Google Play or Google Podcast or whatever. And if you leave a comment, we leave that, reread that live on air, because then the magical algorithm makes us a little more popular. And then one day we'll eventually be able to start a pyramid scheme.
Aha.
Yeah. You tell a friend, I tell a friend, we all tell friends, and then we started a 2000 pop punk band. That's my end goal. ZT Podcast is going to become a pop punk band. We're all going to wear Tilly's branded shorts.
Oh, Tilly's.
I got my Vans.
We're going to have our Vans. They have to be checkered because we're pop punk. And then one of us has to get involved in some sort of scandal, either like conspiracy theories, aliens, or something.
Who's going to be the flannel guy? Because there's always one flannel guy. Fair enough.
I'm wearing flannel right now. For those of you that can't see us, which is all of you.
So you got to go sleeveless flannel.
Yo, can I also be barefoot?
So you want essentially be the flea of our group then, where
like maybe like sleeveless flannel, bare chest with skinny jeans, and then bare feet. I want to be like the Garrett Russell. Can we be a metalcore band? I changed my mind. I want to be Garrett Russell.
Pop punk.
Damn, I don't want to be Tom DeLonge. All right, thank you guys for listening. Have a great night. Bye-bye. Happy week.